Hump Day. Right? Happy Humper?
You made it provocative.
That should have been yesterday when we were talking about the adult film stars.
Yes, yes.
That's me. Always a beat off.
Hi, everybody. It's Phil and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's the bonus hour. It's the stream of consciousness. One of us's tummy hurts.
What are you, my dad?
Not for air, but Wendy's tummy hurts.
I took Advil on an empty stomach, and I may run and throw
no.
up. It just is not good on an empty stomach.
Oh, no. Let's do over and unders on how long you'll go before throwing up.
No, can we not talk about it?
12:15 now.
Although, I can't get past these 13 kids that were shackled in their house.
Isn't
with
that crazy?
And how long?
I know. All right, I know this will sound awful. You know why? Because it is awful.
Okay.
But for our whole lives, we've heard this phrase, you cannot tell a book by its cover. But when you see this guy, you say to yourself, that's a big mountain of crazy right there, that guy. Look at that guy.
Well,
he's spooky looking.
It's the haircut, the Emo Phillips style.
Even Emo on his worst day doesn't look that crazy.
Because he's not blonde.
I think blonde makes it crazier.
It does.
You're right.
And if you notice, all the boys in the family have the same
Little Lord
Fauntleroy haircut.
Which went out of style in the year 1611.
Tell Emo that, by the way.
I almost choked on my coleslaw. So this family decides that the best way to handle your children is to shackle them up.
I just don't understand.
Oh,
I just don't.
Man, is
listen,
it sick.
I can't handle. I'm surprised they had two kids because it's hard. I mean, I can't handle two.
How many do they have? 13?
13. And ranging in age from like 2 to age 29.
Right.
And how, although they were so emaciated, some of the older children, the one who escaped was 17 and they thought it's like a little 10-year-old kid.
Because
they were emaciated and I just don't, I mean, that is not good parenting. I'm really not trying to be funny.
You're right.
But like, why in God's name, would you have 13 kids and keep having them? One was 2 years old.
One of the grandparents said something. There was some statement yesterday about that God chose them to have so many children.
That's what Catholics say, and I am Catholic, but I know a lot of Catholic families who have 9 and up kids. There was a family that had 13 where we lived, and, you know, God doesn't want you to be on the pill or use a condom. So that's why Catholics have a lot of...
Has God spoken on this one? Because I think even God's going to come. He's going to tweet. No, this time
I've changed my mind.
I've totally changed my mind.
I agree.
Let's go with 2 or 3. Every part of this story is disturbing. I don't understand how... All right. It'd be freaky enough if they had one parent who had these crazy views about tying their kids up. But how do both parents sign off on it? Isn't there ever a family meeting between the mom and the dad where one of them suggests it and then the other one goes, no, I think that's probably the worst thing to do is to just handcuff them to beds and things.
And, you know, I know it's supposed to be teamwork, and a lot of times when it comes to discipline, Jim and I differ on our views, and you're supposed to be a united front as a parent.
Yes.
So who suggested it first, the dad or the mom?
I don't know, but... You just think to yourself, if there's even a shred of sanity, the other one says, no, let's not do that.
I don't know.
Not.
Judging a book by the cover, look at her, too.
Yeah. He looks like both brothers from Dumb and Dumber and James Cameron had a child. Doesn't he?
he's the
result of both the Dumb and Dumber boys and James Cameron having a child.
17-year-old girl said she was being held captive by her parents in her home about 2 hours southeast of Los Angeles. And another thing, how do they afford that house?
How do they afford the house? And did you read about the extravagant trips to Disneyland?
Yes.
Which is a very expensive day if you have two kids.
Well, they filed for bankruptcy. They were like $400,000 in debt or something. I was a little intrigued by the story. The 17-year-old girl escaped on Sunday. She alerted the authorities, who then rescued her 12 siblings, several of whom were found shackled to their beds and malnourished. The 17-year-old used a cell phone that she found in the house to call the police with her startling claim about her siblings being held against their will.
The same cell phone their dad didn't use to make haircut appointments?
He didn't even go to Bo Ricks.
Not even Bo Ricks.
Not
even Bo Ricks.
Officers found the girls.
Which still exists, by the way.
I know.
I just saw one the other day. First time in a long time.
Officers found the girl's 12 siblings, who range in age from 2 to 29.
Wow. Wow.
In the foul-smelling house in Perris, California, P-E-R-R-I-S, living in the dark, without access to adequate food or water. Some of the children were restrained with chains and padlocks. The parents were unable to immediately provide a logical reason why their children restrained in that
way. There is no logical reason.
I know.
What possible excuse could you come up with where somebody goes, oh, yeah, all right, I get it.
Maybe one kid who, you know, got bit by a rabid bat. You'd have to protect
extreme,
the others.
But I could see where if you're trying to find an excuse, you throw something like that out. You just don't, if you're that guy, you just don't go, well, I'm not sure why we did this, but we did it.
The officers did not immediately recognize that 7 of the 13 siblings were adults because they were emaciated.
Oh, no.
The sheriff's office said that the 17-year-old girl who called 911 looked to be 10 years old.
How did none of these kids die?
I don't know.
I don't know how they survived any of this.
I mean, I don't know. There was not adequate food or water, so I feel maybe if this 17-year-old hadn't escaped, there would have been some death involved.
So they didn't restrain all 13, though.
That's what I'm unclear about. Their parents, David Allen Turpin, 57 years old, and 49-year-old Louise Anna Turpin, were both arrested on 9 counts each of torture and child endangerment. Why not 13?
Because I think only 9 out of the 13 were being restrained, I believe.
They were being held in jail, bail set at $9 million each.
Yeah, that's your going rate.
The sheriff's department did not say how long the siblings may have been held captive. Sheriff's deputies provided food and water to the siblings who claimed they were starving.
Oh, sure.
Poor things. They were later transported to hospitals for treatment. Their conditions were not released. California records show that Mr. Turpin had received state approval to run a private school.
Oh.
Called the Sandcastle Day School at the family's home. A one-story stucco house in a subdivision built in recent years.
Wendy, give the name again, because I'm talking to my stockbroker later this afternoon. Let's see if we can invest in this.
Sandcastle Day School.
All right.
The school enrolled 6 students this year in grades 6 through 12, and Mr. Turpin was listed as the principal.
Wow.
How is that not checked? In a neighborhood where residents often walk outside and children run around in a nearby playground, the Turpins stood out for never being seen, according to neighbors. Dennis Cook, who lives 2 blocks from their home, said he saw Mr. Turpin once, but never saw any of the kids.
Ever. 13 kids, and you never saw them.
Roberto Gomez, who lives in the house behind the Turpins, said the family kept lights on inside the house at all hours, but never seemed to come outside.
All right, think about this. I don't know the people who live to your left or to your right or across the street from you. I don't know any of those people. But if you went any long length of time without seeing them, wouldn't you think something might be up? I don't know.
Not in the winter. Now, in the winter, honestly, I don't see a lot of our neighbors.
Even
a lot.
In the winter, I see them out either shoveling or doing something where they have to go from the car to the house or the house to the car. There's very few people who live that close to me that I don't see every once in a while.
I guess.
You'll see lights go on and off.
But that's true. You know? But they saw lights. And listen, this one guy said, another neighbor, Julio Reyes, said that last year he saw teenagers mowing the family's yard and helping put up Christmas decorations.
That was last year, though.
And that's a couple.
Yeah.
There were 13.
13 of them.
They look pretty normal, Mr. Reyes said. Pretty normal house.
No, they didn't.
Have nice cars. It's just an appearance. Not a good-looking one. I'm sorry.
No.
You're right. You can't judge a book by its cover. That's what they say.
Right.
But honestly, I can judge a book by its cover.
You're not supposed to judge
but
a book
I
by
do.
Its cover. But if you saw this guy, this is a freaky looking guy. If you saw that freaky looking guy, he's very memorable. It doesn't mean he's done anything wrong. We find out later that he has.
The couple filed for bankruptcy in California in 2011, stating in court documents that they owed between $100,000 and $500,000 in debt.
Wow.
At that time, Mr. Turpin worked as an engineer at Northrop Grumman, the defense contractor, and he made $140,000 a year.
Decent money.
It is. For 13 kids, it gets spread pretty far.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
still,
yeah.
Ms. Turpin's occupation was listed as homemaker. And Shackler.
Right. In brackets.
Their bankruptcy lawyer said in a phone interview on Monday night that the parents spoke often about their children. They had 12 at the time of their bankruptcy, And
they've since had another.
Yes. And he said, Ms. Turpin said that the family loved Disneyland in Southern California and visited often. We remember them as a very nice couple. This is very shocking. The Turpins moved to California from Texas around 2010. The parents wrote on Facebook after Mr. Turpin returned to work for Northrop Grumman on a family photo of the parents and 12 children. The youngest hadn't been born yet.
Yeah.
Posted on the Facebook page in 2011, a friend asked if all children pictured were theirs, and they said, yes, all 12 are our children, and we're very proud of them.
Wow.
And they dressed all alike. Did you see that family portrait? All the girls had the same, like, Little House on the Prairie type dress.
Yeah.
In a red, white, and blue print. And then the boys had that same haircut.
Yep. Like dad. Like their dad. Were these kids homeschooled?
Yes.
Hmm.
So therefore, you know, you wouldn't
miss them in school because they were homeschooled. Yeah.
I don't agree with homeschooling. I know there are a lot of people that do it.
The results actually are very, very favorable.
I know. It depends on the parent. Like, if I homeschooled my kids, the results wouldn't be that good.
The weirdest kids I know were homeschooled. By far. Like,
I know, but they were the smartest, too, probably. And there are a lot of people that homeschool because they're worried about guns coming in at school and stuff. But there's something to be said for socializing.
Right. Although, because I've read studies where those kids just tend to excel later on because all the minutiae of going to a regular school is gone. You're just going to learn if everything goes according to plan. But I'm telling you, some of the weirdest kids I've ever met in my life have been homeschooled. I know it's not always the case.
In my case, the kids I've met
were homeschooled. You just go, oh, man.
But I was kind of jealous of the homeschooled kids.
I could see that.
You don't have to get dressed in the morning.
No, that's true. There are benefits to it.
I would have, if I was homeschooling my kids, it would be noon to 8.
That's when you'd start at noon and you go
through
8.
So they wouldn't have to get up very early. There wouldn't be any after-school activities because they're not at school.
Right. It's easier that way.
So noon to 8, you'd have a dinner break.
Yeah.
And then go right to bed.
All right.
Oh, no, because they're waking up at 11, so they could stay up late and watch movies.
I may attend classes at your school.
See?
I may start to go to your school.
You'll be the smartest kid on the block.
So it's disturbing on so many fronts. One of the more disturbing angles, I don't know which source you're reading it from, but there was somebody yesterday who said
New York Times.
That even though they found these people, there's probably many, many other cases of similar type things going on in the country that we're just not aware of.
But why does a parent do this?
I don't know. You would think it'd be the opposite, that if they were going to treat anybody poorly, it wouldn't be their own children.
And here's the weird thing, and that we should have talked to Dr. John Duffy about this, because I don't, in a weird way, I feel that they do love their kids. There's some weird thing going on, Bill, because it's like, I don't know,
their
I keep looking at them and they
and
haunt me.
Their way of showing love and mine are very different.
I agree with you there, but you can't. Once you have a kid, something changes in you where you would do anything for that child.
You go into protection mode.
So are they protecting their kids from the big bad world that's out there? That's what I mean. I'm not saying they're in their right mind, but I have to believe in their own weird way.
They found some reason to do this?
Yeah. Because why else would you, like, wantonly do this to your kids?
I don't know. And they've given no explanation for their reasoning.
No, the mom seemed to be, when the police came, she was kind of befuddled as to why they arrived.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Right.
It's business as usual at our house. I just don't understand it.
It's very, very creepy.
All right, well, I want to know why this happened. I mean, there is a lack of information.
Right. And I've decided instead of getting a Kim Jong-un haircut, I'm going to get my haircut like their dad.
The Turpin?
It's a better, the Turpin haircut I think is better for my face.
The David Allen Turpin, it's called.
Right. Right now at haircut places all across the country.
Number 32, I believe.
Can I please have a 32? I want to look menacing. All right. We're scared and we're baffled by this, but what else? What else? All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy will join us. She'll give us some news. And then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I was not homeschooled. No, but I'll just tell
I
you that.
I didn't say you were homeschooled.
No, I know. I wish I was.
And can you just imagine? I couldn't wait to get those kids out the door. School!
Oh, I know. As
all
a
right,
mom.
A quick disclaimer. I'm sure there are thousands and thousands of instances where children are homeschooled and it goes off without a hitch and it's great. I'm just saying that in my experience with homeschooled kids, they're some of the weirdest kids I've ever met in my life.
They're smart, though.
Yep.
They're usually a grade or two ahead.
Yep.
Yeah. And but socially?
Listen, I will say this also. When I'm thinking of homeschooled kids, I'm thinking of when I went to elementary school. I'm not thinking of currently. So I do know some families that have homeschooled their kids, and the families are pretty normal. And I was honestly kind of surprised, like, oh, they're homeschooled?
Yeah.
But
and it shouldn't be shocking like that, but it is.
Yeah, but there should be a good balance. I think homeschooling is a great idea. But
Depends on the parents.
Right. It does depend on the parents. And you need some, you have to socialize too.
Maybe exactly.
Then you play sports with the kids or you hang out with the kids in the neighborhood. I mean,
right.
It has
don't
to be a
balance.
Don't
shelter them from other children.
But really, really, I jokingly said I couldn't wait for my kids to go to school. But if I
That's
had the
no
time.
Joke.
No, I would have, I mean, if I could have done it with the time and the money and not had a career, and I would, who wouldn't do it?
I
of
wouldn't.
Course.
I said I'd do it from noon to 8, and then we'd, you know, so they didn't have to get up
so
early.
Well, you know, I'm so smart, and I know everything, so I would have been great.
When we lived in our apartment, Jude, the people downstairs homeschooled their kids, and they were like Pugsley and Wednesday Adams. They were like
and
the freakiest kids.
That was kind of rare. I guess not rare. It wasn't
Oh, yeah,
the
it
common.
Was rare. You're
it was
right.
not the norm.
No.
Now it's much more common.
And don't
it
you
is.
Find that a lot of times they have a lot of kids, too?
Well, yeah, we're talking about these 13 kids.
Yeah, it's not only is it so difficult when you think about it, but they don't just have one or two kids. They usually have 10 kids.
So part of that is there's a religious component to that.
A lot of times, yeah.
And part
frequently.
Of it is the belief of we'll make our own unit. We don't need people on the outside. We'll create our own people. And we'll
right.
Have...
Well, I think because it's the influence. They don't want the influence of the outside.
Right.
The balance I'm talking about, that's what they're avoiding.
Right.
The bad people like the Snyder
Max. They don't want their kids.
Yeah.
And I've always said to, whenever parents say that, like, you know, I'm afraid of my kids going to, you know, an East Coast college or whatever, and whatever. And a lot of times they are religious. My point is always, well, didn't you raise them right?
Right.
What are you afraid of? That they're going to go away and say, well, there really isn't a God.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. It's better. I mean, this is just my opinion, but throughout your life, you become part of everything around you, the stimuli around you, the people and the places and the things you experience. And without that, you're limiting yourself.
All right. It's called life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but now I was not happy about having to go to CCD. You know, as I was a public kid,
yes.
I had to go to CCD, and I wasn't crazy about it. And it was, you know, my mom had to force me to go. I didn't go by, you know, oh, I would love to go, but I wanted to receive all my sacraments, I guess. Now that I think about it, I'm glad I did. But at the time, and I have one who's going to get confirmed this year, and he's really not crazy about it. But I just want to give them the tools, and then as they turn into an adult, they can fall back on what we brought them up as, or they can go and and pray to Buddha. I don't really care.
That's great, because I do know people who didn't have a religious background, and it bothered them. You know,
some
as of adults, my friends,
that,
yes,
yeah,
as adults,
I know
they,
that too.
And they've kind of latched on now to other religion, you know what I mean? But
right.
It's because they feel like I wish I
You're
had some base.
Some
even if
a base,
it,
that's it.
Yes, it's a, even if you decide, exactly. I mean, why not? Why not look at everything?
Sure.
And learn about everything and then decide what fits you best.
Now you're making sense.
I know.
Cut it out, Judy. Stop it.
Who am I?
Did you force your kids to go to CCD or
Absolutely.
Something?
Absolutely.
So did I. And I mean,
and
I have
church.
I have one more that please just get confirmed, Dylan. That's all I want.
Man,
then my job is done.
I know. It was like,
and now it's freshman year.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know what? They enjoyed it up to a point.
Mine done.
And then it just, and you know what? As I said, well, you want to go to Catholic school instead, like me? Have it every day?
How quickly did they
for
say no?
Can I use it?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, think about it. You know,
we
talked about this before. I went to church every day till I got to sixth grade. Every day.
And then you went to a public junior high?
No, then we went to one day a week. Then all of a sudden the Catholic Church got modern, and they said, you know what, how about just Wednesdays?
They didn't get modern.
So it wasn't your particular school, it was the church that said every day is a little excessive, let's try once a week.
I think so. I assume at least in Chicago, I don't think we were the renegades. I think in Chicago, Catholic schools, we went to Mass every day.
Wow.
Now, I don't know, we did have
for
kind
an hour?
Of a... Yes.
For an hour.
And I think it started in Latin.
Oh.
When we first went, when I was probably in second grade, it was probably Latin still.
A lot of time.
But maybe I did go to a sort of a more strict school, I feel like. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
Did you go to a Catholic high school?
No.
See, my husband went K through 12.
Thank you, God, no.
All Catholic. So he needs a little break
boys
from Catholicism.
Only?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have co-ed schools back then.
Oh, right. The high school.
But on the, on the social side, I loved my school. I loved my grammar school. I still see people. I loved going. You know, socially, I, you know, that piece. But yeah, the religious piece.
Yeah.
It was just, so I'm just comparing it that it was a lot tougher.
A lot of work.
A lot of work.
I don't remember one single kid.
A lot of no answers.
Right, there's a lot of that.
Just don't ask the don't like the answer, don't ask the question.
It'll come to you eventually. I don't remember one kid. We would only go to church about once every other week. Sometimes
really?
A little more
you
often.
Had it easy what? In Oak Forest.
Yeah, well, St. Damien only about once every 10
Maybe
days.
Maybe the suburbs, yeah. You guys.
But I don't remember one kid who ever went, I wish we'd go more often.
Right.
You know, every kid was like, yeah, that's fine. Once every other week, I can stomach that.
I mean, God forbid you forgot to eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Now you got to go sit in church for an hour, and it's, you know, a lot of...
Hurry up with the communion. I'm hungry.
Yeah, we, all of a sudden, when you have the wafer,
all the time.
It makes you hungrier.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, because you start...
And you can't chew it.
No.
I do.
No.
Well, you
Wendy.
Need to be very... I'm
sacrilegious.
They
that
took... You know what? This is... Now I know I went to a really strict... They took attendance in church.
In church?
And on Sunday.
They would call out a sheet of names while you were in church? Wow.
No, they wouldn't call it out. They would see who was there. Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't have a non-nun teacher until sixth grade.
All nuns till sixth grade.
All nuns all the time.
All nuns all the time.
Wow. Mm. That's a bunch of nuns.
No wonder you are
like
you are.
Bunch of nonsense.
You're
well-rounded.
Smart. Yeah, honestly,
religious.
Though.
Did
it's
most,
a good education.
I love God. I love Jesus.
Did most people in your group fall away from religion or embrace it more after this?
Yeah, no. You know what? We're diehard Catholics.
Yeah.
That, you know, when I get together with those people, we're just Catholic. We don't even think. Because I now, in my life, have met a lot of people who are into different religions.
Sure.
Christian, I mean, mostly.
Right.
But, you know, and I
didn't know any of them when I was younger.
No, I didn't know a Jewish person until I moved to the
suburbs.
I
didn't either.
So I was a sophomore in high school.
Who was the first Jewish person you met?
Everyone who went to Maine North. Because when I went to Maine North, I was like, wow, everyone's Jewish here. I didn't even know one Jewish person.
Yeah.
That's how
you couldn't call yourself the goodbye girl there, could you?
No.
You didn't even break the top 100.
But I mean, that's how, I want to say segregated. We were just, that's how Chicago was. It was neighbor. I lived in a very Polish Catholic neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there were
and
no temples in Brookfield.
No, and they weren't, you know, and maybe.
But there was a Stein's Delicatessen.
In that Brookfield,
was,
there was.
Oh, it was in Lyons.
Oh, yeah, right.
It was awesome.
I remember that. Yeah.
That's became my first love of corned beef.
Oh.
I know. I wish I had found it earlier.
Me too.
It's unbelievable. So I have these friends who go to different kinds of churches, Christian churches, which I love. They sing everything. It's so short.
Yeah.
They play guitar.
Yeah.
But they always try to kind of get me to, you know, go to their church. And I just always, I say I'm a bad Catholic, but I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
I like being a Catholic.
I can't interfaith.
No.
I gotta stand in my own church.
It's,
we got a break, you guys. We haven't taken a break yet.
Oh.
Wait,
sorry.
I've already done the news, right?
No.
No news yet.
See what I mean?
I just have to say this really quickly before the news. When we moved in Oak Forest, it was 1968, and there was one other Jewish family besides our family that was Jewish. So anytime anyone in town, every single time they'd find out we were Jewish, they would always say the same thing. You must know the Goulds. Like every single time. Of course we know the Goulds.
But now, were they all Jewish? Because you were Jewish and Catholic.
The Goulds were like us. We're 50-50.
Oh.
The dad was Jewish. Like my dad was Jewish. And my mom's Catholic. His mom was also
Do you know
Catholic.
Every time you say that, there's a guy who texts us who says
furious.
You can't
then
be.
You're not.
Because your
half
mom has to be Jewish, right? Everyone knows that.
It's 50-50.
Your mom was Catholic. Your dad was Jewish.
Right. Right.
How is that not 50-50?
It's exactly 50-50. But I know people always get upset. They go, whatever the mother is, that's the religion you are.
Well,
I didn't choose to follow either religion.
Here's the other
so
thing. Even to this day, being Jewish, religion, right? Or is it a nationality? People
it's
act like it's a nationality.
No, it's religion.
Yeah, it's religion. 100%.
Although I didn't know that till I was probably 30 because there were no Jewish people around me.
But
do you know the Goulds?
But you're calling yourself half Jewish.
Yeah.
But did you practice Judaism?
Through birthright.
Judaism?
I didn't know.
No, so you're not half Jewish.
You're Catholic.
By your own argument,
you're Catholic.
You are not Jewish.
You are Catholic. Your dad is Jewish.
Right.
Because you got all your Catholic sacraments.
But I'm not. but I
you're not a practicing
follow,
one.
No,
right? But you just said it's a religion. No, it's
I'm
really
semi-practicing.
It's a culture. It's a culture. We need Kim Gordon in here.
Yes,
she would set us straight.
To bless us.
She's a very good Jewish person.
I love her matzo ball soup.
Gosh, I know, right? And you know it's kosher. Very important.
The Goulds blessed it. All right, it's
she knows the Goulds.
She knows the Goulds. All right,
she does.
It's new. Oh, we're just a minute late for the 12:30 news.
I don't want to hear blustery. I got to tell you,
it's hard to say too.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
Unless you're Winnie the Pooh.
Clear, cold, and blustery.
Oh, bother!
Oh, blustery day. I don't want to go off on too much Trump stuff here, but I do want to mention this. You know, we criticize him for obvious reasons. Yesterday, he threw a reporter out of the Oval Office. Jim Acosta asked a question about immigration that Donald Trump was not prepared to answer. And so he wanted him thrown out of the Oval Office. But he did it, I have to say, in the most gentle way that any president has ever had anybody removed from anything. Did you see this or hear this at all? All right. Let's go back in time, 24 hours. It's yesterday, the Oval Office. There's a bunch of press people there answering the questions that Donald Trump wants. And then Jim Acosta asks him this question about immigration and, you know, what's been going on in the last couple of weeks with the blank hole countries. And here's how it played out yesterday. Listen.
Mr. President, did you say that you want more people to come in from Norway? Did you say that you wanted more people to come in from Norway?
Thank you very much. I want them to come in from everywhere, everywhere. Thank you very much, everybody.
Just Caucasian or white countries, sir, or do you want people to come in from other parts of the world where there are people of color?
Jim, thank you.
His answer, out. Not, he didn't yell it. He didn't point at the door. He just quietly whispered in a Damien Omen 2 sort of way, out.
And then whoever was there, the woman said, all right, Jim, that's
thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. Gale. Yeah. We're done.
Let's go, Jim. Out. Yeah. Sit. Stay. Heal. Beg.
There's also this interesting story from Huffington Post
this
morning.
Do not report.
Right. Now, first of all, before I read you this part of it from the Huffington Post, I guess it's a president's prerogative if he feels that the questioning is out of line, but that question's not out of line. That question is perfectly in line, you know? So,
and it's not the first time he's thrown him out, I don't think.
No,
he's
been, right.
Yeah, or has excluded him, I should say. Or sometimes they get the, you know,
well, he'll ask the question and he'll throw that fake news, not answering your question, fake news. So, all right. President Trump's Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen said on Tuesday that she doesn't know if Norway is predominantly white.
Who said this?
The head of Homeland
Kristen
Security.
Nielsen. Yeah, she's not sure that that's the case over there in Norway, which is commonly known as one of the whitest countries in the world. Testifying under oath before a Senate Judiciary Committee, Nielsen dodged questions about the president reportedly what he reportedly said last week in a White House meeting about immigration, that African countries are a blank hole and that he preferred that immigrants come from Norway. Being that Norway, now these are the words of Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, as he's questioning Nielsen about Donald Trump. He says, being from Norway is not a skill. What does he mean when he said that? To which she replied, what he was referencing is, from a merit-based perspective, we'd like to have those skills who can assimilate and contribute to the United States moving away from countries' quotas based on an individual merit system. Then Leahy said, Norway is predominantly a white country, isn't it? To which she replied, I actually do not know that, sir, but I imagine that is the case.
I don't know that to be a fact, but I would assume, yes.
That Norway's predominantly white?
Yeah, so I'm looking it up.
It's around 85% white. I got to find the numbers.
Does she know if the U.S. is predominantly white?
She does not know that either, Wendy.
If you're the head of Homeland Security...
All right,
you know what?
Right,
If you're a fourth grader,
right?
Really, that to me just it screams a dodge.
The current numbers show that Norway is 83% white.
As honestly, most anyone in the world would assume,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But was that her way of defending Trump by saying who could possibly know that off the top of their head?
That's what I and
when
so,
he says these are the bad countries, but a good country is like Norway. Mm-hmm. You can't expect him to know what the breakdown is.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
I know.
Because obviously she didn't lie. She didn't, you know, but it's any intelligent, halfway intelligent person.
Right.
Seeing that, what do you think?
If somebody
what,
said,
what do you think you're doing? I mean, and it's almost like I'm going to say this because most people aren't going to care.
If somebody said, without using any kind of source, just off the top of your head, name the 3 or 4 or 5 whitest countries in the world.
Sweden.
You would think mostly Scandinavian countries.
Yep.
Norway being one of them. You would just assume, right? And you'd be right. But she doesn't know that. Kristen Nielsen is not up on that.
She's defending
her boss. Yes, she is. Because, I mean, that's a position of power where you should know that information.
So if she's...
I don't need to know that.
But again, I always go back to this. The worst part of that is it goes to your, you know, obviously, well, to your intelligence in my book. Or maybe to your, I mean, is the head of Homeland Security being so tricky that she's, you know what I mean? Just, there was a way to answer that if you could, you know,
but
still be loyal to your boss. But to say it that way is so ridiculous that now I'm questioning her judgment.
So is there any wrath on her at all if she's just honest and says it just point blank? Yeah, Norway's predominantly white. I know that.
I know that, but so, maybe not everyone knows it. There you go.
So he's still going with the argument that he's when he threw out Norway, because the first when people first defended him, round one of defense was that he had just met with Norway. So Norway was in his head. So he just said the first country because he had just dealt with Norway. So he said, like, Norway, because he just dealt with Norway. Could that possibly be right?
I buy that. Yeah. You know, it is true. But I love that question by the lawmaker as to what kind of skills do they have?
Right. Right.
And then I love the people who are like, why would anyone from Norway want to move here?
Right. All right. So when the question comes up as to whether or not Donald Trump is racist or not, can you use this as a solid argument that he is? Is this admissible enough?
Counts.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I know he's lying about his weight, but I don't know.
He's lying about his weight.
But at least he's healthy.
Right.
Well, so if it's not racist, then what was it? Why? Someone who says that, what?
If anyone else said it.
Is he just saying, oh, these are, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe Haiti gets a lot of, maybe their immigration levels are high. And
right.
I mean, I don't know. The way he said it, I just feel that.
The gist of that whole soundbite, and take out the word that he may or may not have said. Let's just leave that out.
Oh, the asshole comments? Yes, that's racist.
All right, but take it out for just a second. Try to.
Well, that's what I thought you were asking, the asshole comment.
That makes it more racist. But even if he wouldn't have said it that way, if he would have just said, without the asshole part of this, if he would have just said, you know, we're trying to build a good country here, so I really think that if you look at us globally, countries in Africa, like Haiti, no thank you. Countries in Norway, yes.
In Europe.
Doesn't that in and of itself just scream of racism without the word or words that he didn't say? Isn't that
right?
Racist
but I
on
will
its
tell
own?
You that Martin Luther King Jr.'s son, who Roe had on, wouldn't say that. He said, "I'm not going to say it was racist. I don't know what his."
Really?
So I mean,
it seemed elitist for sure.
Right? He said, "I don't know that he was, you know, but certainly that comment, that kind of comment, causes pain and anger and blah." So, but he wouldn't. He would not
he
say. I'm not going to say that it was racist.
Interesting. And that's his son. And that's so maybe Martin Luther King's son.
Right.
It seemed racist to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have to make their own decision, you know, assumption on what he. But yeah, no one can say what he meant. All we can say is all we can talk about is what he said.
Right.
I can't believe Dick Durbin was on The View.
Dick Durbin.
I mean, that,
he is. Did you see it?
No, but Bill, first of all, I have never watched The View in my life.
I'm going to watch it today when I get home.
Well, I
he
now
was on today,
I never
right?
watch it, but now the blonde girl immediately upset me because so she's the Republican.
Who is the blonde girl?
She's McCain.
Yeah,
Meghan McCain.
Yeah,
she was she was questioning, interrogating Durbin, and he blah blah blah, and it doesn't even matter what the comment was because she said made a comment like, well, except for Cotton, who's a lawmaker who was in the room, a Republican. Remember, it was Cotton and the other lawmaker who said, well, we didn't hear that,
right?
Or we don't know, we just didn't hear it because we were in Carnegie Hall, not the Oval Office. Couldn't hear well.
Do you watch?
She said, so how about Cotton? And then picked up her mug. She said, no offense, Senator, but there was Cotton. Something like that. And then she picked up her mug and took a sip.
So.
Which I said to myself, well, that is disrespectful to any senator.
So she was essentially saying, how could your version of the story and Cotton's be so dramatically different when you were both sitting at the same table?
And she also said to him, you know, well, we all know you lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone told me that. I didn't see that part, but someone said that she... And he just stood there and took it. So we were having a discussion in the newsroom that maybe because he's our senator and we are from the Midwest and we're more... I don't know, that we don't think of him as being like a sleazy politician.
Right.
You know, and I said, well, I always like to base my views on facts.
Why would he lie?
Right.
Give me an example.
When did he lie? Yes. If he lied, he lied. I want a fact. Did he lie? You know, like when people are always saying Hillary Clinton lied. Yeah. Okay. When did she lie?
That's just a general blanket statement.
Right. And you can't just say that. Obama, when he lied about Benghazi. When exactly?
On record, when was he lying?
Yeah. I just.
Did anybody ask the question if he was bothered when Donald Trump tweeted about the incident, he referred to Senator Durbin as Dickie Durbin. Did anyone ask if that offended him?
And so The View, I think it was probably more, it was a nicer interview for him besides the one more Republican person.
Right.
And then it's funny, I had it on in the background, or my daughter had it on today, but I kept hearing yelling, and that's why I looked. Because I would never watch The View either. It's not my show. But
so out of the three of us,
two women and a man.
The View is aimed right at both of you, and I watch it every day.
I watch it when I get my nails done because it's always on.
That's when I watch it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So when I go home, I'll have lunch at home and I'll turn it on and watch.
But you're going to have finger sandwiches and some tea?
You mean you tape it and then you.
I have a tea party with my dollies and we all watch it together.
Wait, and the dollies that you know are in boxes. I wish I could let you out, but I can't. It's like Toy Story. The boxes walk around. I wish I could get out of here.
Right.
Sorry, we're teaming up on you, but boy, is it funny.
I'm not saying it's not an awkward lunch.
Believe me, when The View's on and I'm sitting there, yeah. I am totally sucked in.
Yeah.
I just don't put it on.
When they do these Hot Topics segments at the beginning.
They call this the political view.
So, yeah. All right, so it's five women, and more times than not, they're at odds about something, and it's really great because it's so honest, and they do argue, and depending on who the panelists are, there have been years where there's been more arguing and years that there's been less, but it's so rare for television to just have real people on arguing about stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
It never gets out of hand now. There have been other cast members where it's gotten out of hand. They kind of handle it now.
Well, even the McCain girl, I mean, she's great on the show. She just picked up her cup, it was very dismissive. And I just thought, when you're talking to a U.S. senator, I don't care what party, it's a U.S. senator.
She can be, there are times where she can be dismissive, but I will also give her this. A lot of times, if you're the Republican on the show, because they always have one and sometimes two, but you're always outnumbered, and it's very hard for them to get their point across because it's a numbers game. There was a moment with Joe Biden about a month and a half or 2 months ago, Joe Biden was the guest, and she started talking about her dad's cancer and how when she thinks about Joe Biden's son, and it got very emotional. There was crying, and
nice.
Joe Biden got up and walked next to her, and he hugged her and stuff like that.
She's a great guy.
Did she stiffen?
No, she did not stiffen up. He is a great guy. It was really nice to see a Republican woman and a Democratic guy.
Right. I wish we could see that every day.
Not gonna see it.
I love about this whole controversy is that it's Dick Durbin and Lindsey Graham.
Right.
You know, they're both. Still, all these days later, Lindsey Graham is still steadfast, and they're just like, I get it. I think he has all but said it.
But he needs to come right out and say it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Move past it. What I love is that he's saying, let's get to the end result here.
Sure.
We've got to get this Jaca deal.
He's right.
Something happened. Something went haywire, and let's just get back to it.
Yeah, so true. Jude, thanks for hanging
out.
That's Judy Pilak. She has to go. And we do, too, in just a little bit. So stick around. We'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You dropped something.
No, it's part of the commercial, Wendy.
Oh.
They do that at the end of every Pretty Mustard commercial. No. All right, that's it for today's show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'll be late again tomorrow.
Are you going to be late tomorrow?
I have a school meeting tomorrow.
Today was a doctor's appointment, just to make up for it.
Oh, I'm confused.
Tell them in the office. I came in late. I feel awful, so I'm going to leave early. We'll call it a day.
All right. I'm still confused.
More show tomorrow, everybody. Tune in then. Bye, Wendy.
See you.